All black people don't eat alike, of course, but at plenty of tables at family gatherings, you'll find cornbread, collard greens, and fried chicken, some of the staples of soul food. In a new book, author and Marist College professor Frederick Douglass Opie delves into the history books to find the true soul of the food of the South, plus its place in the politics of black America. The book is called Hog and Hominy, Soul Food from Africa to America. Fred, welcome to News and Notes.
Thank you.
So why did you decide to look at the origins of food?
Well, the book started in 2000. I had an opportunity to participate in a health seminar. It was directed towards African-American. It was at a church in Metro D.C. And there was a medical doctor conducting the seminar, and I asked him if I could participate by doing a project on the origins of soul food being the distinctive food that most African-Americans associate with holidays and special occasions.
You mention in your book that some other authors believe that West African food was unmodified by European influences, but you happen to disagree with that. So what do you believe?
Yeah, what I found interesting is that before Africans came over to the Americas, as early as 1492, when the Portuguese were setting up forts on the coast of West Africa and Central Africa, that they were bringing over foods and food staples from the Americas, things like corn, cassava, and also the Indonesian traders were bringing over to Africa things like plantains. And these were new crops to Africa that the Africans then incorporated into their normal food staples. I have examples of Africans making cornbread in places like, Mozambique before they come over to the Americas. And we all know how important cornbread is to African-American cuisine. So there were examples like that.
You go through the evolution of soul food from many different perspectives and how it was not always what we think of soul food was not always a daily food. It was sometimes the meat especially was a special food. Talk about how people ate what we think of as soul food in perhaps a different way than we do now.
Well, again, if we start in 16th century Africa, that you see Africans are consuming large amounts of meat on special occasions. Meat, it tends to be used to season soups, stews, and things like that. And when the African comes to the Americas, you see generally the same thing. Slave rations did not allow for the gorging on meat. You got poor cuts of meat, salt pork, and things like that. But you would not have large amounts of meat unless you had a special occasion, like, for example, Christmas, New Year's, after 1776, July 4th.
I'm assuming that a lot of these things that might have been special or once in a while became more common and readily available.
Exactly. What you see is when soul food restaurants emerge really around 1968 in association with Black Power, soul food or Southern food becomes marketed under the term soul food. And what you see appear on the menu were things that during the antebellum period were special foods or even after the antebellum period. You know, so at the turn of the century, you would see African Americans eating special, what I call special occasion food, like fried chicken, on Sunday only. So those are the type of dishes that would show up on the menu. Biscuits that I point out. Monday through Saturday was cornbread in most Southern homes. Sunday would be biscuits. And so biscuits are the things that, in addition to the cornbread, that would show up on these menus. So again, you saw people taking special foods and then trying to market them on a menu and become kind of regular consumption foods through restaurants.
Soul food could even be controversial, even political. How were some of the debates over soul food in the 1960s and 1970s framed?
That's, to me, the most interesting part of the book is the last chapter called Food Rebels. And you look at people like Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, and you look at activists like Dick Gregory, who were essentially saying that, you know, one thing is to celebrate Black culture, African culture, which were many activists were doing, you know, celebrate all things African and Black. And they were saying you can't celebrate something that has been in many ways altered, changed for the negative through the slave experience. So if you're telling Black people, you know, to be revolutionary, Dick Gregory would say, there's nothing revolutionary about, you know, giving people food that's not healthy for them. He would also say that you can't talk about white people and white people destroying and killing black people if you're going to then tell them to eat a food that's actually committing genocide on our own community. That's one of his points, that this food is killing us as a people, and therefore we should not be embracing it. We should embrace those things that are African and, quote, black, but that are not harmful to us as a community.
All right, finally, where is the debate over soul food now in terms of whether or not it is good for black folks, killing black folks, high cuisine, low cuisine?
Well, it's interesting. I interviewed a medical specialist, Dr. Alanja Saunders, in Baltimore, University of Maryland Medical Center. And what he says is that, soul food is so closely aligned and in the fabric of black people and their culture that as a medical doctor, he found it was almost impossible to get them to stop eating it. But what he suggests to his patients is that they only eat it on special occasions or modify it. So there's been a lot of new cookbooks that have come out in the last, say, 15, 20 years where you're creating soul food diets for diabetes, soul food diet for people with, all kinds of medical ailments. And so soul food has been modified, it's been changed. So people are not leaving soul food. People are either eating less of it or eating it in a more healthier form.
Well, Fred, great to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
That was author Frederick Douglass Opie. He is the director of the African Diaspora Studies Program at Marist College. His new book is called Hog and Hominy, Soul Food from Africa to America. And he joined us from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta.